In Philippians chapter 4, we'll start with verse 5, if you will. Philippians chapter 4, verse 5. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand.
Amen.
Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. And I'll just tell you this. I've been preaching. I was trying to figure it up today. I know I've preached over 5,000 times since I've been preaching. And I've learned a few things. Now, I'm not the smartest man in this room. Don't claim to be. I'm not the most educated person. Don't claim to be. But you know, if you get in a book, you'll learn a few things, amen? And you can't preach 5,000 sermons and not learn something unless you're just a rock or something. I don't know. Amen. There's three orders here. I'm not preaching on this, but there's three orders here. And then there's one reward. Number one, rejoice in the Lord always. Always. Good times and bad. Rejoice in the Lord. Number two, let your moderation be known. That means you're level headed. You don't go too far to the right. You don't go too far to the left. You do like you're supposed to do. You're just moderate all the time. Number three, be careful for nothing. Don't worry. Don't worry. That's what he means. Don't worry. Don't worry. And if you'll let it be known to God, that's my text verse tonight, verse six. He says, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving.
Amen.
He didn't say after it turned out the way you wanted to. He just said, in thanksgiving,
yes,
bring your prayer, your supplication, let your request be made known to God. And then the reward is, and the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus.
Amen.
Now, we know a lot about prayer. Most of us do. We pray. I've read all kind of things and heard all kind of sermons on prayer, and I've heard people say some wild stuff about prayer. But prayer is pretty basic. Let your requests be made known unto God. And supplications. You need something? Ask for it. That's prayer. Let your request. Prayer is asking. That's what it is. It's asking. Now, I know we fellowship with God in our prayer, but basically, prayer is made to keep me in touch with God for what I need. And so tonight I'd like to talk just a few minutes about prayer. And I'm not a great prayer. I wish I was. I've met men that are great prayers. I think Brother Rudy's a great prayer. I think some of you are great prayers. I'm not. I'm so simple-minded. I've known preachers that just pray all night. I can't. I've tried. I fall asleep. And we used to have all-night prayer meetings. I couldn't stay awake. I'd go to these big meetings, and these preachers talk about their great prayers, you know, and all I knew how to do was say, Lord, help. Lord, help. But there are some things about the prayer that we already know. Look at Luke chapter 1. Luke chapter 1. I want to talk just a few minutes about prayer. I won't keep you long. Luke chapter 1. I'll do like the Democrats want to do a president. I won't keep you long. Luke chapter. they want to get rid of him the day after he came. Luke chapter 1. Look at it with me, verse 1 through 8. For as much as many have taken in hand to set forth in order a declaration of those things which are most surely believed among us, even as they delivered them unto us, which from the beginning were eyewitnesses and ministers of the word, it seemed good to me also, having had perfect understanding of all things from the very first, to write unto thee in order, most excellent Theophilus, that thou mightest know the certainty of those things wherein thou hast been instructed. There was in the days of King Herod, the days of Herod, the king of Judah, a certain priest named Zacharias of the course of Abiah, and his wife was of the daughters of Aaron, and her name was Elizabeth. And they were both righteous before God, walking in all the commandments and ordinances the Lord blameth. There's that moderation. And they had no child, because that Elizabeth was barren, and they both were well stricken in years. And it came to pass that while he executed the priest office before God in the order of his course, according to the custom of the priest office, his lot was to burn incense when he went into the temple of the Lord. And the whole multitude of the people were praying without at the time of incense. And there appeared unto him the angel of the Lord standing on the right side of the altar of incense. And when Zacharias saw him, he was troubled, and fear fell upon him. But the angel said unto him, fear not, Zacharias, for thy prayer is heard. And thy wife Elizabeth shall bear thee a son, and thou shalt call his name John, and thou shalt have joy and gladness, and many shall rejoice at his birth, for he shall be great in the sight of the Lord, and shall drink neither wine nor strong drink, and he shall be filled with the Holy Ghost even from his mother's womb. And many of the children of Israel shall be, he turned to the Lord their God. Now, you know what? Sometimes God answers. He says yes. Sometimes his answer is yes. These people were past what you would expect people having children. And they've been praying all these years. And guess what? I don't know if they ever felt like God heard them or not. It sounded like they didn't. It sounded like it was a surprise to me. But God said yes. Amen. Yes. Now, the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man, that's what he was, availeth much. Yes. And it carries weight with God. So here's this man, he's living right, his wife's living right, they don't have a child, they prayed, they begged, they've hoped, nothing's happened, and then all of a sudden, one day an angel shows up and says, thy prayer has been heard. Amen. I don't think God heard them yesterday, I think he heard them the first time they said them, don't you? But God will answer yes. Now, God doesn't answer yes to everything. No, he don't, and I'm glad that. I prayed for some things, I'm glad he didn't answer. Amen. Amen. I look back on it, I say, man, I'm glad he didn't give me that. I'm glad he didn't move me there. Whew, I'm glad he didn't get that church. Whew, I'm glad that guy didn't join. I mean, sometimes the answer is yes. Amen. Amen. Now, you couldn't be saved very long and not figured that out yet. Sometimes he said yes. And boy, those are wonderful times, especially when they're a big surprise like he was. Amen? Amen. And now turn to Psalm 66:18. Psalm 66:18. And we're going to park there a while. Psalm 66:18, if you will. Psalm 66:18. If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. Sometimes God says no. Sometimes God says no. Has God ever told you no?
Yes.
I mean, just outright said, no, you're not getting that. Well, there's several reasons for that. Number one, he said sin. If I regard iniquity in my heart, that means you hold on to it. You're not repentant. You're not remorseful. You don't have a broken and a contrite heart. When we sin, now all of us sin. Don't sit there and act like you don't sin. Yeah, you probably sin today. I'm glad I didn't go out with you to eat. I probably could have told you what you did sin on. Amen.
Amen.
That's why so many people like the buffet. It's a bunch of sinners. Amen. But we all sin. But now if we deny that we sin, and we deny that we failed God, and we deny that there's anything wrong with that, then God's not going to hear that prayer.
Right.
Now, you're going to sin tomorrow. You are. Amen. But if you confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins. But if we deny it, and what we're doing, we're calling God a liar. We're saying, God, this really ain't that bad. That's what we're doing. He said he won't hear my prayer. Amen. Amen. Now, look at James 4:3. I ain't gonna stop there. James 4:3. I'll wait on you. I hear the sound of rustling King James Bible pages. James 4:3. I love to hear that. That sounds so much better than an iPad. Amen. James chapter 4, verse 3. You ask and receive what? Because you ask amiss. You ask wrong. That ye may consume it upon your lust. Yeah. Now, what does that mean? He says no because you got the wrong attitude. You got the wrong attitude. A lot of people want to be rich, but they want to be rich for themselves. They don't want to share it with anybody else. And people come in here and they say, well, preacher, as soon as I win that lottery, I'll start tithing. You know, I got a limited income. I said, let me tell you something. If you don't tithe $2,000 a month, I mean, if that's your income, $2,000 a month, then you can't tithe on that. What makes you think you're going to let go if you got $20 million? 10% of that. When you mathematicians come up with that. It's a whole lot easier to let go of a little than it is a lot. Come on. That's why he says how hard it is for those who have riches to enter into the kingdom of heaven. It's hard to let that stuff go. Most of us, what little bit we got, we could pretty well let it go. But a lot of people ask for the wrong reason. They ask more because of greed. They ask, instead of praying for somebody that God would fix them and save them, they pray God to kill them. Amen. And you ask amiss. Young people especially will pray with the wrong attitude because they're still growing, you know, and they're still in that old flesh, and they'll ask for things, more things and more things, stuff and more stuff. And not knowing that the more you get, the less satisfied you're going to be. So they ask amiss. Some people, I've known people to pray to be in the ministry. And then go ahead and act like they were, and God didn't answer that prayer, yes. And later on you'll see he didn't answer yes because they're not here anymore. They're not in the ministry anymore. Because God didn't answer that prayer because they were asking it for the wrong reason. Maybe it was self-glory, or maybe it's the spotlight, or a title, or a certain income or something. It wasn't for others, it was for themselves. So they don't stay in the ministry. Those kind of people don't stay. So God will tell you no. If you got the wrong attitude when you pray. Amen. If you pray, well, Lord, straighten them out. You know they're wrong and I'm right. He's not going to answer that. Amen. Amen. Now look at James chapter 2. James chapter 2, if you will. Look at verse 14. 14 through 16. James 2, 14 through 16. Do all things without murmuring and disputings, that ye may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke. You got it? Huh? Oh, I'm in Philippians. What am I doing? I got to get my glasses fixed, y'all. I'm sorry. Man, I'm going to the eye doctor. Yeah, James, I had it marked wrong was my problem. I had a little sticker right there that had it marked wrong. James chapter 2, let's start over, okay? James chapter 2, verse 14, okay? Now we got it. What does it, the other one was good too, by the way. Now you see why you don't want to preach. James chapter 2, look at verse 14. What does it profit, my brethren, though a man say he hath faith and have not works, can faith save him? If a brother or sister be naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you say unto them, depart in peace, be ye warmed and filled, notwithstanding you give them not those things which are needful to the body, what doth it profit? Even so, faith, if it hath not works, is dead, it is dead being alone. Yea, if a man say, thou hast faith, and I have works, show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show thee my faith by works. Did you know, that you've got to, you got to have, I hate to use this term, but you got to have some skin in the game. A lot of people do nothing for God but call on Him. They don't do any works, and they brag about their faith, but they don't do a stinking thing. And, hey, you're lucky to see them at church once a month, but you watch their Facebook post. My goodness, they're the greatest Christians on Facebook. But they don't do anything for God. They don't do anything for anybody else. Now, you think God is going to answer the prayers of a person that claims to have great faith and does nothing? Now, we're not saved by our works. We're not. But He said, show me your faith. I'll show you my work, because faith without works is dead. You say, well, I believe in prayer. Well, God believes in prayer too. But He's a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. He's not a little old Santa Claus sitting up there waiting to be called on. Amen. We're supposed to be serving Him. We're supposed to be servants of the Most High God. That's works, Brother Holroyd. You leading the choir, did you know that's work? That ain't going to save you. It ain't going to save you. But it's a good thing to do if you are saved. So if you pray, Lord, make the choir better, well, you got a hand in it. Amen. A lot of people praying for the church to change, and they do nothing about it. Come on, help me here. They pray for their children to change, and they don't put anything in their children. Amen. Amen. They pray for their government to change. They don't put anything in that. But He'll say, no, we've got to have the ability by our availability. Amen. Now, turn to Matthew 17. Matthew chapter 17. Look at verse 19. Now, you know, the apostles had been doing great works. They'd seen people healed, seen devils cast out. They'd seen great works. But now, Jesus cast the devil out that they couldn't. Look at chapter 17, verse 19. Then came the disciples to Jesus apart and said, why could not we cast him out? And Jesus said unto them, because of your unbelief. For verily, I say unto you, if you have the faith as a grain of mustard seed, ye shall say unto this mountain, remove hence to yonder place, and it shall remove, and nothing shall be impossible unto you. The demon was cast out, and the disciples said, Lord, well, we tried that. Why didn't it work for us? He said, because you didn't believe enough. And did you know sometimes God doesn't answer our prayers because we really don't believe He's going to answer? We pray that, Lord, heal so-and-so, they got cancer. But somewhere in your mind, you're thinking, I ain't never known anybody to get healed of cancer. Amen. Well, I tell you what, if your prayer is faithless, it'll be resultless. Nothing's going to happen. And by the way, He's talking about praying big things for God. Big things. He said, you tell that old mountain over there, if you got that much faith, you tell that mountain, be removed into the sea, and it'll go. That's a big thing. Amen. Now, compared to that, casting the demon out of a little old boy ain't nothing. And I'll guarantee you that most people, when they pray for miracles, they don't believe it's ever going to happen. Yeah. Especially in church, in corporate prayer, when we all pray together. Come on, help me. And it don't take but one doubt in Thomas to ruin the whole thing. Amen. He said, if any two of you agree on touching on anything, agree, and you got 100 people in the room, and only 10 of them believe it and agree on it. And the other 90, they don't really believe it's going to happen. They limit God's answer to that prayer. And He's going to say, I'm not going to do that because these people really don't believe I can. And again, you're calling God a liar. Saying, God, you can't do anything. Amen. So sometimes God will say, yes, He will, in great, great, great results. But sometimes He'll say no. And then turn to Lamentations. I'll give you a while to get there. Lamentations chapter 3. And I'm going to double check, make sure I'm not in Philippians. Lamentations. I really do need to get my glasses. I got cataracts growing, but they're not ripe yet. Ain't that something you talk about, your cataracts being ripe? Like picking a plum or something. Is it ripe yet? And they're gonna cut it off my eyeball. Amen. Amen. All right. Lamentations chapter 3. Look at verse 25. The Lord is good unto them that wait for him, to the soul that seeketh him. I don't mind instant grits. I got some at the house. I kind of like instant grits. I do. Instant potatoes ain't my favorite, but it's not that bad. You got to have something to eat, amen? Regular coffee is wonderful. Instant. My mama loved instant coffee. She didn't like percolated coffee. She drank instant coffee. I guess because it looked so much like that snuff that she did. But if I couldn't find nothing else, I'd drink me some instant coffee. Hey, man, I just make it extra strong or something. I put a little extra. Hey, man. But look, sometimes if you want the real stuff, you got to wait. You got to wait. But most people, including myself, sometimes we treat prayer like instant grits. Just pour some hot water in it, it'll be ready. Amen. And we think God ought to jump up and do what we're asking right then. The God of glory, the creator of the universe, the King of kings and Lord of lords, we say it and we expect it to happen that same day. Who are we? Amen. My grandkids sometimes boss me around. I look at them and I say, who do you think you are? Y'all's grandkids ever do that to you? Papa, you do this. Who do you think you are telling me what to do? And I'll slow down just to spite them. I might do it, I might not. Unless it's a little redhead when I got, she's just... But sometimes God wants you to wait on it just to see if you really want what you're asking for. He'll test you. He'll make you wait. Now, I've seen people wait years and years, 20, 30 years to get answers to prayer. Amen? We heard Brother Rick preach the other night. How long did he say before his brother that came the other night got saved? 20 years or something like that before he ever got saved? My younger brother, 1 year younger than me, Donnie, he was wicked, man. If you could smoke it, snort it, shoot it, take it in a pill, huff it, inhale it, he done it. And prescription, anything he'd get his hands on. And when I first got saved, me and my wife and kids go see my mom every weekend. And when we'd go down there, he'd live with her a lot of that time. He'd get up and go in the bedroom. Wouldn't even talk to me. But finally, one day after years and years and years and years of praying for him, he showed up at my church. Yeah. And I saw him that day get under conviction of the Holy Ghost. He got convicted. And then he came back. I think it was the next week he came back. And during the invitation, he walked out and he gave his heart to Christ. Now that was years and years. Man, it might have been 18 or 20 years. I don't know. But I'll tell you what, if you'll wait long enough and you'll keep praying, you keep asking, you keep seeking, God will answer your prayer. He will. He will. He'll do it. One way or another, he'll do it. And see, our problem is we're impatient. I'm impatient. I'm a lot better than I used to be, thank God, but that's because I'm getting old and slow. Amen. Michael, don't take no credit. Same thing with you. You still remind me of that squirrel in the middle of the road I'd have to dodge. If that squirrel could talk, I bet he'd have a New York accent like yours. Amen. But we've had to learn to wait. Amen. And if you're married, you know that. Hear those men laugh. If you're married, you know you got to wait. Amen. But God says, look, you wait, I'll answer your prayer. You know why? You know why? Because sometimes he just likes to hear you. I look at my grandkids sometimes. If I give them what they want, they're going to take it and run off. But if I sit there and reason with them, they'll stay and talk to me. Amen. But if I just give them what they want, they'll say, thank Papa, gone. Somewhere else, get something else. But well, to wait on the Lord. Wait on the Lord. And sometimes he tells us to do that. You don't have to wait on this one. Amen. I'm not picking on, but there's a young couple in here about to get married. Look how long they waited. We got people running off and getting married when they're 16 now, 17 years old, 18 years old. And look at these two over here. They've been waiting on the right one. God just brought them the right one. Amen. Amen. It was worth the wait, wasn't it?
Yes, sir.
Amen. Yes, sir. Amen. Yes, sir. Amen. She just went. I'm teasing. But work the wait. You young people, listen to me. I know there's not but a few over here tonight, but you wait on the Lord. You wait on. The devil has sent you somebody. You keep praying for the right one. You'll know the wrong one when you see him. Amen? Amen? And if you go ahead and take that wrong one that he didn't send, you'll be sorry. You'll be sorry. If you wait on him, you'll be glad. Amen? Amen. So, sometimes he'll tell me, yes, you can have that and right away. Or he may make me wait. He did the priest there. He made him wait all those years, him and his wife. But he told him yes. And then he may make you wait and then end up telling you no. But he enjoyed your fellowship while you was praying about it. Amen. 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 I'll never forget Brother Skeet Cope. He was so funny. That's one of the funniest men I ever knew. His kids would come up to him while I was talking to him. They'd say, Daddy, can I have $10? He said, I'll pray about it. Can I go home with so-and-so? He said, you have to let me pray about that. He never would give him a yes or a no answer. He said, I got to pray about it. And they knew what that meant. I'm not getting a yes answer or a no right now. I'll come back later. Amen. So next time your kid comes around wanting something from you, your grandkids say, I'm going to have to pray about that. We've never went to buy a mini car, but my wife, I'm telling you, if you want to see a grown car dealer cry, take my wife with you. She'll jewel them down, and then she'll go back and forth and back and forth. When we went in there last time, she said, we're not staying here all day. We're coming to buy a car. And I know what I want already. There it is. And here's how much you say it's worth. And then she starts, June, and you know, they got to go talk to the manager. They already know what they can sell it for. They go in there and say, did you see that football game last night? Yeah, man. Then they'll walk back out there and said, man, I worked hard as I could, and I got you down another $1,000. And my wife say, that ain't enough. What? That ain't enough. And he'll go back in there. I'll try again. He'll go in there and say, did you see that soccer game yesterday? And they'll talk about it, and then they'll come back and say, ma'am, you're killing me. You're killing me. My boss, man, won't let me go no lower than that. She said, well, we'll have to go home and pray about it. He'll say, well, take the car with you. She'll say, no, I'm not taking the car. I'm going to go home and pray about it. Well, it may not be here tomorrow when you come back. She'll say, well, then it's not the Lord's will for me to have the car. He'll be tears me right now. I feel sorry for him. I used to sail. I feel sorry for him. I didn't sail. But sometimes the Lord do that to you. He'll say, well, let me think about that. And you'll come back the next week and you'll say, Lord, I'm still waiting. Yes, I'm still thinking. And then sometimes, turn to Acts chapter 8. Acts chapter 8, if you will. Acts chapter 8. Look at verse 26 and 27. I drive down the road now at night, and I hated those. Everybody's bright lighting me. Were y'all like that when you had cataracts? Looks like everybody's bright lighting me. And I get mad, and I turn my bright lights on, and then they go by, and I feel bad that they wasn't. Acts chapter 8. Look at verse 26. And the angel of the Lord spake unto Philip, saying, Arise, and go toward the south unto the way that goeth down up from Jerusalem unto Gaza, which is desert. And he arose and went, and behold, a man of Ethiopia, an eunuch of great authority, under Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who had the charge of all her treasure, had come to worship, come to Jerusalem for to worship, and was returning and sitting in his chariot, reading Isaiah the prophet. Then the Spirit said unto Philip, Go near and join thyself to this chariot. And Philip ran thither to him and heard him read from the prophet Isaiah, and said, Understandest what thou readest? And he said, How can I, except some man should guide me? And he desired Philip that he would come up and sit with him. The place of the scripture which he read was this: He was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and like a lamb dumb before his shearer, so opened he not his mouth. In his humiliation his judgment was taken away, and who shall declare his generation? For his life is taken from the earth. As y'all know, that's Isaiah 53. And the eunuch answered Philip and said, I pray thee, of whom speaketh the prophet this? Of himself or of some other man? Then Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. And as they went on their way, he came unto a certain water. And the eunuch said, See, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized? And Philip said, If thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Now, if you'll go up a little ways before that, you'll see Philip was in a revival. You'll see Philip was in a place where God was moving. You'll see that Philip was having a good time. Amen? Preaching and fellowshipping. And never would have thought to leave that and go way out there in the desert somewhere to find one man. He went out there. He didn't know what he was going to find. Now, don't you think that Philip prayed to be in the Lord's will? Sure he did. Don't you think that he prayed that God would use him? He was a preaching deacon. Don't you think that he was glad that God had heard his prayers to use him to preach the gospel to a bunch of people? And what did God do? God answered his prayers by doing something else. Amen. He picked him up out of that crowd and put him up there beside one black man who had been to Jerusalem seeking God, and nobody introduced him to the Savior. Even though the big revival was going on there, people were getting saved left and right, thousands of them, this man went there. He went to find God. He went to the temple. He did not find God. Nobody introduced him to the Savior. He's going home disappointed, and God, the Holy Ghost, picks up the deacon preacher and puts him over there right next to his chariot. And I know he wasn't a Baptist because it says he ran alongside of him and asked him, Understandest what thou readest? And he said, How can I except some man guide me? Now, God did something else with that man's prayer. Not a bad thing, a wonderful thing, but not what he had asked for, not what he intended. A lot of times, God will answer your prayer, but he'll do it with something else. And, hey, something else, always. Now, in Acts chapter 16, if you turn over there, look at verse 7. After they were come to Mysia, they essayed, or talked about, or figured to go into Bithynia. Look at the last part of that verse. But the Spirit suffered them not. Suffered, the old English word means allow or let. He did not let them go where they had planned to go. Now, these people, don't you think that these people, wanting to please God, wanting to be a part of God's plan, don't you think that they had asked for God to bless their trip? Sure they did. Sure they did. But God gave them a detour. He gave them a detour. He put them somewhere else. He wouldn't allow them to go where they wanted to go. Are y'all still with me? Now, sometimes I wanted to go places and preach, and God didn't let me go. Yeah. Sometimes I've wanted to go to houses, and God didn't let me go. Me and Thomas spent 2 hours in the wilderness of Clover, South Carolina, Thursday night in the rain and the darkness and the mud, dirt roads and everything else. And God didn't let us find that house we were looking for. And I've been there. I've been there, it's been a long time, but I've been there many times. And we couldn't find that house. And it wasn't because we wasn't trying either. We really tried. It was because God didn't allow us to find that house. Now, I don't know why. That's my plan. To go in that house, win the lost, encourage the saved, and get some people in church. And don't you think that's a good plan? Yeah. Don't you think I pray about that? Yeah. Well, why didn't God let me do it? I don't know. He had other plans. It wasn't. Help us, Lord. We got a movie camera that squawks like a duck. And her brother did it. But listen, his mama did it. The Lord didn't do that. Amen. Where do I go from that? Alright, listen. I'm gonna wrap this thing up Here's the sad part. Some never even think about their prayer. Some who claim to know God never even pray. Unless it's an emergency or a tragedy. I'm serious. Every day we ought to pray. Every day. Morning, noon, and night. Pray as you go about. Pray about everything. Everything you do, you'll be praying about it. All day. Everywhere you go. On your job, with your family, everything. You can be praying all day long. But most people never pray unless they want something. They said that Billy Sunday got to the point, that great last of the great Presbyterian evangelists who helped bring in Prohibition. They said you could be walking down the road, the street with him, and you wouldn't know if he was talking to you or was talking to the Lord. Said he prayed all the time. And said while he's carrying on a conversation with you, he would say stuff like, "Well, Lord, I know that." And you said, "What?" He said, "I was talking to the Lord." And you'd be walking on alone, and he'd say, "Lord, you remember what I told you?" And you'd say, "What?" He said, "I'm talking to the Lord." You didn't know if he was talking to you or talking to God. That's because he prayed in everything, all the time he prayed. And he's one of the greatest preachers ever lived. Amen. He'd tear up some stuff. Amen. But listen, the sad thing is, it usually takes a tragedy before we figure it out. You know, it's sad sometimes the only time people pray is at a funeral or at the hospital or at the jailhouse or divorce court. Amen. Or at the bankruptcy court. And they had a line to God. All they had to do was talk. And I've heard preachers say, "Well, we got this formula. You do 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. And no, the Bible says call. Just call on the Lord. And he'll answer. And you have not because you ask not. There's no formula. Just ask. It's asking and receiving. That's what prayer is. And now look, the only formula I have is number one, you must be born again. That's the first prayer you got to make. Amen? And then number two, you got to walk in the right path. And when you fall, real quick, just admit it. I've sinned, Lord. That wasn't me. That's this old flesh. That ain't me. And that's the old man. That ain't the new one in here, Lord. I'm sorry. Keep short accounts with God. And ask. That's it. And then look for an answer. And don't be impatient. Just be patient. Wait on the Lord. And He'll do the work. And then don't try to take credit for it. I'll never forget, Darlene's husband was dying up there in the Pineville Hospital. They called me up there, and I went up there that night. She said they was calling family, said her husband wouldn't make it through the night. I got in there. He was just as orange, just as yellow as some of these flowers, almost orange. Serious. He had drank himself to death. I mean, literally. He hadn't eaten in several weeks. He just drank. And she had separated from him for it. And I went up there, and sure enough, he looked like he was a gone. And he barely was breathing. You know how people get just barely. And his mom and daddy was standing there, and they Roman Catholic. From Pennsylvania, Roman Catholic. Standing right there crying. And I asked Arlene, I said, can he hear me? She said, I don't know. So I got down in his ear, and I whispered to him, and I said, do you believe that there's a God in heaven? And he kind of grunted a little bit, best he could. I said, do you believe that God answered prayer? And he grunted something. I said, well, I do. And I looked at his mom and dad. I said, do you believe there's a God in heaven? They said, well, sure. I said, you believe he rewards people that pray? They said, sure. I said, you think that he can raise him from this bed? They said, I said, I believe he can. He wants to. He can do that. And I think God did it just to show those two Roman Catholics that he could do it. Amen. And we prayed and anointed him with oil. And boy, the next day she called me. She said, it's a miracle. The doctor said, it's a miracle. His body's starting to work again. His liver's working. His kidneys is working. His heart's speeding up. His breathing's speeding up. And a couple weeks later, he's walking down the aisle in the church. Now, they had to teach him how to walk again, use his hands again, things like that. But God healed that boy. And he's living back up there where his mom and daddy is now. They moved up there. And far as I know, he's been right with God ever since. God can do anything. That's a little thing with God. But he won't do it if you don't ask him. Or if you ask it amiss. I really believe if we get to praying harder around here, we'd see more people saved. Every day I get on that altar and I pray for me, number one. Confess my sins, ask Him to forgive me. And then I'd start praying for other people. And I go through my long list. And then I get down into the last. I say, Lord, save sinners in this place. Save sinners. But guess what? If we don't ask, He ain't going to do it. Amen. If you're not saved today, the simple way to be saved is ask. If you are saved, you backslid, the simple way to get right with God is ask. That's all you got to do. If your children are lost, just ask. Your mom and daddy's lost. Just ask. And keep asking and asking and asking. Now, God may not do it the way you want Him to do it. It may be like the Ethiopian eunuch. He may do it some other way. But God still answers prayer. Let's stand. Father, thank you for your inner.